May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My brothers and sisters, this is a season of believing, a season of new life and new invigoration, and I exhort you to believe. I exhort you to believe, my brothers and sisters. Do not doubt. Do not be overcome by the shadow of death, but believe. Believe that spring will come at last. No matter how bad the weather is, and no matter how dead everything looks outside, it is a time to believe. And there are those who have seen it with their own eyes and know that it is true. I have heard from the saints in Vancouver, where it has been spring for some months now, and those stories are wondrous to behold, almost miraculous. Tales of green grass and soft springy moss, tales of gardens and flowers that are now even past their bloom, and the spectacular cherry blossoms. Oh, it's the cherry blossom festival this month. And magnolia trees that are just now coming into their best, and tales of tall, leafy trees making everything, even the air itself, seem green. It is true, my friends. It is true, and there are those among our number even now who have seen such wonders in places like Hawaii. And a pilgrim who will come back next week, Aaron Black, Las Vegas. Yes, but friends, I tell you, it will be true even here, my friends, and I exhort you to believe. Believe that this miracle will happen even to us, even in our own communities, even, would you believe it, in our own backyards. Trees that even now look dead and cold will become green and grow these things called leaves. So many that they even block out the light of the sun. The sun. That is called spring, my friends, and it is coming, it is coming. All that work, it is going on even now, even weeks ago, as the nutrients and the water have been drawn up through root and shoot, they have been growing new cells, which have become the shell of new cells, which are becoming leaf, because even 5 weeks ago now, out in the countryside, you could see the tops of the trees starting to change color. You look out across the valleys, and no longer is it like black, but now the pines, you can see that they're green, and now even the poplars, you can see at the top, they're yellow. Wow, it has been happening for weeks, and we haven't even been able to notice. Even now, while the world seems so dead and cold, the future has been well laid out, and it is happening even now. So believe in the resurrection of outdoor life, my friends. And it is not such a stretch, not such a stretch to believe that it will happen, not when it happened last year, and you know, it happened the year before that, and it happens just about sometime around now every year, and the year before that, so it is not really such a stretch to believe that it will happen again this year. Not such a stretch compared to Thomas. Thomas who didn't believe, Thomas who couldn't believe on being told that Jesus, who died under torture as a failed leader of a failed movement, Thomas who couldn't believe that he was alive and apparently walking around, that indeed that failure was not a failure at all, but in fact a future well laid out and happening even now. But what was the point of all of it then? What was the point of all that was done, of all the miracles, of all the healings, if the plan was to end in death? or not end in death, but to end in what? To end here in an upper room, the disciples barricaded against the authorities and the crowds who might even now think that they were rebels like Jesus and good candidates for crucifixion as revolutionaries. What is that to understand? What is all of that to mean? What kind of future is it that has been well laid out and is happening even now? They are not safe from political violence. That's why they're barricaded in this room. They are not safe from political violence. The sick and dying are still sick and dying. The poor are still poor. The Romans, well, they are still the Romans, and they are still in charge and oppressive. So Thomas walks into this and goes, I don't know what the heck you guys are talking about, because everywhere that I look, it's death and gloom and doom. Now, the other disciples said that there was some kind of triumph. But we listen to Thomas's soul deep skepticism, his defeat, when he says, Yeah, right, there's a plan. Yeah, right, there's a victory. Yeah, right, you overconfident fools. I wouldn't believe him unless he was standing here in front of me and I got his blood on my hands, poking around in his wounds. Then, gosh, that must have been one heck of a humiliating moment for Thomas when Jesus showed up at their next meeting and called Thomas on his bluff. Or it would have been humiliating if Thomas hadn't have been so shocked and then so relieved, like spring after a brutal winter. So there was a victory, and it changed everything. But it doesn't make sense yet, not yet, because they are not safe from political violence, and the poor are still the poor, and the sick and the dying are still sick and dying, and the Romans are still the Romans. But yet somehow this changes everything. It changes everything, though we don't know how quite yet. But how it changes everything, well, that is the rest of the story. It is the rest of the story for Thomas. And still, in our communities today, there are churches that are said to have been built by Thomas himself. Isn't that an amazing thing to think? Thomas, who apparently went to South India. And my South Indian in-laws are Christian now and have been Christian way longer than anybody with white skin because apparently of the mission of Thomas to South India. So how on earth Jesus' resurrection changes everything, despite the fact that the poor are still poor, and despite the fact that the sick and the dying are still sick and dying, and despite the fact that the Romans are still in charge, somehow Jesus' resurrection changes everything in Thomas's life from this moment on. And so it is the rest of Thomas's story. And it is the rest of Peter's story, as we know. And it is the rest of the story for all those other disciples. And it is the rest of the story of Pentecost. And it is the rest of the story of the early church and the desert fathers and mothers. And it is the rest of the story of Constantine's conversion 4 centuries later, when finally Christians weren't persecuted anymore. And it is the rest of the story of the birth of public education in the court of Charlemagne. It's the rest of the story of the convivencia in medieval Spain, where Christians and Jews and Muslims lived in peace and extraordinary cooperation and creativity. It is the story of organized charity and welfare and universal health care and universal human rights. It is the rest of the story for millions of lives, billions of choices, lifetimes of trying to understand, of trying to make sense, to trying to live as witnesses to a loving God who calls us to rise beyond ourselves and to strive for the flourishing of all life, life in ourselves and life in one another and in the world. Our story starts with Thomas, who couldn't believe, and then did. Thomas couldn't wait to understand. And 2,000 years later, here we are with cell phones and the internet and cars and nuclear bombs and stem cell technology. We are still living Thomas's story, still trying to believe and trying to make sense of a failure that was, in fact, a triumph. In fact, a promise that even in the world where there is still political violence, where the sick and the dying are still sick, where we still get sick and we still die, where there are still poor, and where there are still structures of oppression, that even in this world, there is a triumph well laid out and happening even now in the tiniest of ways. And what makes for saints is not the pomp of public miracles, but the faith to see the spring rising in the world and the faith to call spring out of other people. We are called to be just those saints, prophets of spring after a hard winter, where by growth and faith we transform ourselves and one another and the world by the help of God, so that even the air itself seems green. Amen.